This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on what has been a fun kind of a smorgasbord Thursday, because tomorrow's Friday, that would make today Thursday. Figured that out all on my own. We're going to talk about the nagging women of the Democrat Party and why their percentages are so low. A white dude pretended to be black and he got published. We're going to talk about, briefly, hormone replacement therapy, that they call it, the evils of it, all that and more. Emails, so much coming up on the final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. So this is a point that we've talked about before. But many, many times in history, you will hire mercenaries, if you will, to do violence on your behalf, the heavy lifting on your behalf. You're fighting. And if you don't be really careful about that, they will end up running things because they have force. They have power. A modern example would be, have you ever heard of these rich guys who create for themselves bunker complexes? Bunker complexes, you know, a fortified ranch in the mountains or something like that somewhere. And they'll hire a bunch of essentially mercenaries, private security firms, but former Navy SEALs and Green Berets and these types of guys who are always willing to do that kind of thing for money. And they'll say, hey, if the worst comes to worst, you guys, you're my bodyguards. No, Mr. Rich Guy, unless you can fight too, it's their ranch. It's their bunker. That's how that works. Historically, I've used this example before about the Praetorian Guard when it comes to ancient Rome. They were elite. They were handpicked from the Roman legions, and they were the only ones allowed to carry weapons in the city of Rome. They were there to enforce the law, keep the peace, of course, keep the emperor safe. But it didn't take long, and the Praetorian Guard, they looked around and said, well, we're the only ones with the swords. The emperor doesn't have a sword. I've got a sword. You've got a sword. Why don't we run things? They just started killing emperors, choosing the emperors they wanted. America's Democrat Party is going through something similar. Mentally ill women have for a very long time been the beating heart of the Democrat Party. If you take some miserable, bitter, deranged lunatic of a woman, she will vote Democrat while the illegals are inside of her living room pillaging her stuff and beating her over the head. She will still crawl to the polls to vote Democrat every single time. You know a liberal Aunt Peggy like this. Everybody knows someone like this. Bug-eyed on antidepressants. Donald Trump's Hitler. You know exactly what I'm talking about. That type of woman. Well, the Democrat Party has relied on them for the longest time for obvious reasons. They're the most committed. They will vote in every election. It could be a local nothing election that you don't even know about. That woman's going to be there. She has nothing else, by the way, in her life. She'll be there. The mentally ill, bitter woman has been the shock troops of the Democrat Party for a long time. Okay. They've used those women for votes, to go work on campaigns, to donate, to spread the message far and wide. Okay, they did it well. But just like the Praetorian Guard eventually choosing Roman emperors, slowly but surely those women and the mentality they have has taken over the Democrat Party and now runs the Democrat Party. Let me ask you something. What is something a nagging, obnoxious liberal Aunt Peggy, what is something she does as it pertains to men? She talks down to them. Always talking down to them. Always scolding, nagging, lecturing. Everyone's known a woman like this. scolding, nagging, lecturing, scolding. No, that's not all women. But these women are always this way, talking down to men. Well, here's the thing. There are a bunch of wussified men in this country who I realize will accept that from a woman, but no man likes it. None. In fact, men are created to have a visceral hatred of that kind of nagging, scolding, that kind of personality in a woman. Men despise it. They hate it. Here's a couple interesting sound bites. How popular is the Democrat Party right now?
There is big Democratic enthusiasm to get out and vote in the midterms, far outpacing Republicans right now. But also that just 28% of Americans view the Democratic Party favorably. And the context of that is the lowest mark for Democrats in the history of CNN's polling going back.
Why are Democrats so unpopular? I don't know. Let's check in with Tim Walz. He was about to be the vice president if, God forbid, Dome won, so he's not some nobody Democrat. Hey, Tim, why are Democrats so unpopular?
My son was able to vote as an 18-year-old, and I asked him about his take is, especially young white men, is he said, Dad, a lot of them aren't about the policies. Mm-hmm. They're about the thrill and the excitement, and, you know, Trump brings the circus type of thing. Yeah. And that type of acknowledgement. Now, I think I would make the case there's a lot of toxicity in that. Mm-hmm. I think there's the Andrew Tates. There's some of that kind of stuff that gets in there.
Keep talking down to men. Keep lecturing them, scolding them. Tell them how stupid they are, how toxic they are, how bad they are. Just keep sticking a finger in their face. Don't you know you're supposed to be gay? Keep lecturing them. Keep yelling at them. Keep calling them racist. Keep this and that. And then keep wondering why the approval numbers of the Democrat Party go down and down and down. The nagging, horrible Jezebel woman, she long ago became the top foot soldier for Democrats, and over a long enough period of time, she eventually found herself in a leadership position. Now she runs the Democrat Party, and that's a big reason why they're so unpopular. Always nagging at somebody, always scolding somebody. Here's something about you, scumbag. Nobody likes that. And most definitely men, they despise it. Let's do some emails. Oh, this is about my ranch. When I said, I'm not going to make my own. I'm going to go by Hidden Valley or Ken's Steakhouse or something like that. This guy said, homemade is always better than store-bought. It sounds like you're just lazy. Well, yeah. Yeah, exactly. And listen, I'm not sure when I ever lied about that. I don't want to make ranch. I understand I can make ranch. I get that. But as you just laid out, quite accurately, I'm too lazy to do so. I would like to pick up one of those big, because we get the biggest ones to save money, not to sound like Chris, one of those gigantic Hidden Valley. We have one in the studio. Chris, don't we have two? Oh, Chris says we have two. I forgot he bought a two-pack. We saved even more. That's got to be a half gallon, Chris. The big Hidden Valleys where no one can possibly eat the whole thing before it goes bad, and then you squirt it, and it comes out all chunky, and it smells, and then Chris is vomiting and stuff like that. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know. I'm too lazy. Yes, you're correct. Also, keep in mind on that word lazy, the word gets thrown around a lot, and there certainly are lazy people, there's no doubt, but I have an opinion that everybody works hard at something, and everybody, universally, is lazy at something. I have one child, majorly athletic, and loves to be physical, loves it. When he's around me, he's always punching me, we're wrestling, he's out on the trampoline, he wants to run, he wants to do this and that. He won't do his homework sometimes. Is he lazy? Kid got up and ran 5 miles this morning. Is he lazy? About some things. Not about everything. I have another kid. He doesn't love physical activity. No, he loves to hunt and fish and stuff like that, and, you know, swims. But when he has some downtime, he's not going to jump on the trampoline. Busts his butt in school. Stays up at night to do his homework. Gets up in the morning, studies. Is he lazy? Everybody works hard at something. Everybody is lazy at something else. It's human nature. Human nature. Now, if you happen to work with somebody who's lazy at work, lazy at their job, that's a whole different story. That's somebody you have to replace. And that's why ZipRecruiter is here, you see. ZipRecruiter is here so you don't have to suffer the way I suffer every single day. It is the hiring site employers prefer the most for a reason. And really, what's everything about now? It's about making things easy. If I'm an employer, I don't have time to sift through 8,000 resumes on ZipRecruiter.com. I don't. ZipRecruiter, you do it. You help me. They know. They do it. They have this matching technology. 4 out of 5 employers find somebody on the first day. You log in, post your job. They've got quality candidates in front of you immediately. Immediately. Make your life easier. Don't suffer the way I suffer. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse is where you go to try it for free. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Thursday. Remember, tomorrow's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. So get all your questions, ask me anything, emailed in to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. If you missed any part of the show, you can download the whole thing, iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. The headline here is, it's just too funny. This is from Not the Bee. White man pretends to be gender-fluid black migrant, writes horrible poems, and gets published 47 times. This is all over society now, where we've allowed the most detestable cultural Marxists to take over every institution. And now, look, just like any communist system, it pays to be part of the party. And if you're not part of the party, then you suffer. You suffer financially. You won't have the same opportunities you would have if you were part of the party. In America, that means being a white Christian, definitely being a white Christian Republican, and most definitely being a white Christian Republican male. The truth is, since we've allowed the demons to take over every part of our society, they now operate on a war footing to rip America away from you and hand it to them.
You want to know who the real threat is, Madam President? I'll give you a hint. They don't look like our chief author. They don't look like the folks up in the gallery. They don't look like the folks on the rotunda. They look like many of the members that sit in the front. And you don't have to take my word for it. According to DHS, Madam President, the greatest domestic threat facing the United States comes from, quote, racially or ethnically motivated violent extremists, specifically those who advocate for the superiority of the white race, not our immigrants.
Jesse, I heard stories about fighting in the German forests often consisted of the Krauts booby-trapping big trees, and wood shrapnel would rip through you. Like you said, the forests were and are very dense with big trees, hilly and dark, even in the sunniest days. Yet German forests, and I've not spent actually any time in them, okay? So I'm actually saying this from rumor and secondhand and from books, but they are rumored to be thick and dark. Remember the Roman legions who got wiped out under Varus? And that story of the Roman legions being wiped out under Varus, it's the accounts of it, they sound like there's something out of a Hollywood movie where they were marching through these forests, and the forests were so thick and so dark that at first they could just kind of see shadows alongside them, things moving. They couldn't quite make it out, but it was too thick. It was too dark. And then they started getting pelted with arrows or rocks, and they couldn't see who was throwing it because it was so thick and so dark. And as they walked their way into the ambush, it got worse and worse and worse. But back to what you were talking about, this is something people don't think about when it comes to trees. Certainly European fighting in Germany and other places. Trees tend to create a lot of nasty shrapnel when they're hit with explosives. Well, both sides, this was from our Medal of Honor Tuesday, which we did, both sides were lobbing all kinds of artillery at each other. What do you think's happening when that artillery's landing around the trees? U.S. health experts reassess hormone replacement therapy risks. I know every single period of time in human history comes with horrors that people in later generations and in other countries will look on and they'll think to themselves, what kind of savagery is that? How could anybody ever sign on to that and think that was somehow okay? And you could point to your historic barbaric practice. The Aztecs is always a great one. You actually tortured children to make them cry before you cut out their hearts while they were still alive, and everyone thought that was okay? And we look on them now and we say, geez, what kind of Lucifer crap is that? And we're right about that, of course. But what do you think future generations are going to say about us and what we've allowed to happen to children in this country, especially this tranny stuff? It became so popular, it's now mainstream in medical circles that you can just inject children with this hormone or that. And when you're done completely warping and morphing their bodies as if you're Dr. Frankenstein, then upon final completion, you put them under and lay them down on a surgical table and you start chopping off parts of their anatomy. It and I know it's really dark. I'm not going to stay on it. I'm in a good mood. I don't want to stay on it. But that is from the pit of hell. And that is something that is widely recognized as acceptable in several circles in this country. Not just adults doing it to themselves. We are doing it. We're allowing parents to do it to children. We're allowing surgeons to do it to children. We're allowing shrinks to do it to children. We're allowing schools to do it to children. This is happening now, thousands of times over in the United States of America. Future generations are going to look at that, us, the exact same way we look at Aztecs pulling out a child's fingernails before they kill them. They're going to look at us the same way, and they're not wrong. Friggin' evil, man. Let's talk about your dog. You know what? I remember when Fred was younger. Ob got up in the middle of the night because she could tell he was restless. She got up in the middle of the night to see what was wrong, and she slipped on something on the floor and fell down in that same something that she slipped on. I'm going to go ahead and spare you the rest of the details, but Fred had digestive problems like you can't even imagine. He's got a nervous stomach, as you know. We were at wit's end. We kept the paper towel industry afloat for 2 years. And along comes Rough Greens, the incredible supplement for your dog. The number one dog supplement in the United States of America now. Fred has not had a digestive problem since the day we introduced him to Rough Greens. Did you know that? You will see differences in dog. They have Meow Greens. Start sprinkling it on your pet's food and watch the difference. Go to roughgreens.com, promo code Jesse, or call them 214-ROUGH-DOG. 214-ROUGH-DOG or roughgreens.com.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Thursday. Let's get to this little bit from Obama before I get back to the emails. We got to clear out some room. So Obama said something, and you know I'm not a big Obama fan. To put it mildly, I despise him. I think he is the great destroyer. I think he is our first and honestly our only president we've ever had who hated the United States of America. Many didn't care about it. Most probably didn't care about it. He was the one with a born and bred hatred of it. And he brought us in many ways to where we are today. That said, when he says something smart, you got to give credit where credit's due.
I had a gay professor in college at a time when openly gay folks still weren't out of line, who became one of my favorite professors. You need that. To show empathy and kindness. And by the way, you need that person in your friend group so that if you then have a boy who's gay or non-binary or what have you, they have somebody that they can go, okay, I'm not alone in this.
Yeah.
Right?
You need to have a gay friend in your friend group. And that's why I still talk to guys I know who are in the Navy. We still talk. What, Chris? I'm having a serious moment, like my doc, our corpsman in the Marine Corps. We still talk a lot, and it's for this reason. I know I need to be in touch with gay people, and when I do, I go thumbing through my phone, and I find somebody who was in the Navy just so I can show how tolerant I am. So there, maybe you thought I was just mean all the time. I'm not. I try to be nice. Jesse, I realize Nancy Pelosi's not the Speaker of the House this time around, but she seems unusually quiet with Trump back in. What's up with Grandma Vodka? She's old. And this is what I mean. It's not even necessarily about her age or the fact that she drinks a fifth of vodka, apparently, with breakfast every morning. That's why she talks like this. Nancy Pelosi is an amazing figure, to be honest. It is amazing how long she had a lot of power in Washington, D.C., and how long she ruled the Democrat Party with an iron fist. It's very difficult to control the House of Representatives. Remember, because as we talk about, there's so many different caucuses. There's this caucus, and then there's that caucus, and you have this caucus, and you know, different caucuses have different sizes. There are tiny little shriveled caucuses and there are big caucuses. And you have the Congressional Black Caucus and the House Freedom Caucus and this caucus and that caucus. And within your own party, within you know, the Democrat Party, you're going to have this caucus and that caucus. And remember, the base of the Democrat Party, so much of it doesn't seem to have any relation to each other. There's the Rainbow Demon Brigade, and there's the Congressional Black Caucus. Oh, we're so oppressed. And there's the feminists, and there's the... So you have all these different characters. Nancy Pelosi bashed enough heads and handed out enough favors to keep that caucus pretty well under control for a very, very, very long time. It was not easy, but... Look, as much as I despise her, as much as you despise her, you have to be a little bit impressed that somebody was able to herd the cats into the corral for that long. But nothing lasts forever. And keep in mind what it would take to do that. If you were going to keep something as separated as the Democrat Party together so you can get Obamacare passed, that only passes with Nancy Pelosi. How can you do that with all these different whack jobs in the Democrat Party? Well, yeah, you have a big staff, but it's going to take you. You are going to have to be on the phone. You are going to be out there taking meeting after meeting after meeting after meeting, whipping votes, threatening, bribing, you personally. Yeah, you have all the people in the world who work for you. It is going to require you to do that kind of work. Nancy Pelosi did that and did that well for a very long time. But I actually wasn't making fun of her at all when I said she's old. Father Time's undefeated. You can't do the things physically at 85 that you could do at 35. That's not the way it works. Your body starts to break and your eyes start to go and you run out of gas a little bit early. That's the way it works. You even end up, things hurt. And that's why I tell you about Relief Factor so often, so you can get rid of that. You may be slowing down at 85, but you don't have to live with knee pain. Nancy Pelosi, if you're listening, I know, perhaps you've got some denture pain. Relief Factor's there. 100% drug-free, meaning you can probably take it with vodka. 100% drug-free. It's a supplement you take every single day, and slowly but surely, the pain in your life gets toned down. You may want it for your back. She may want it for her dentures. Whatever. Try it for 3 weeks at relieffactor.com is all I'm saying. Nancy, it's only $19.95. We all know with your insider trading, you have that kind of money laying around. $19.95. Relieffactor.com or 1-800-4-RELIEF. Back to your question. She lacked the energy. She can't do it anymore. So she handed it off to Hakeem Jeffries. And this is a kind of one of those inside baseball things that's fascinating. Have you ever wondered why Hakeem Jeffries was the pick? I know you're tempted probably to say, well, it's because he's black. No. We're talking the top dog in the House of Representatives. You only achieve that position if you raise big money and hand out big money. Hakeem Jeffries raises great money and hands that money out. He's been a diligent worker for the Democrat Party, diligent fundraiser, and that's why he became Nancy Pelosi's heir apparent. That's how you get the position. But performing in the position is different than getting the position. A sales office is a good example of this. You know how many general managers, new general managers, I've seen fail in the RV business back when I was selling RVs? Why is that? I'll tell you why. You know how you get to the general manager position? You become a great salesman. You're great at selling, great at selling, great at selling. Hey, let's take Chris. He's great at selling. Let's make him general manager. But the general manager has duties beyond selling. You put him in the general manager chair because he was a great salesman and find out he doesn't know how to manage anybody. Hakeem Jeffries got to the chair he's in, the top Democrat, House Minority Leader, because he was great at raising money. That's how you get to the chair. But now that he's in the chair, he can't do it. Part of that's not his fault, I realize, because Democrats are, they are more insane now than they were in even the 90s or early 2000s. There are some fairly open communists there now. You have the race baiting nightmare stuff. You have, so he has problems that Nancy Pelosi didn't have. Even still, the animals are going crazy in the House. And we keep getting these stories out of D.C. about how frustrated he is with it. He gets frustrated with them when they do these wacky things and say these wacky things and take these wacky positions because he has a mind on the midterms. And if we're to listen to this soundbite again, Democrats might do well after the midterm.
There is big Democratic enthusiasm to get out and vote in the midterms, far outpacing Republicans right now. But also that just...
Hakeem Jeffries is focused on winning the midterms. The Democrats are motivated for the midterms. That doesn't mean he wants them to stop being Democrats, but he's going to start trying to control the Jasmine Crocketts of the world. Hey, Jasmine, just one day, could you not say something openly racist against white people because we have midterms we want to win? But he can't seem to get these people under control. He just doesn't have what Nancy Pelosi had. He doesn't have the strength. He doesn't have the leadership. And the Democrat Party's suffering for it. Let's all celebrate that. All right. We only have one more segment left. We're going to make fun of the media. Someone specifically in the media. Remember that theater kids argument we had? so many of these communists are just theater kids performing all the time. Yeah, just hang on to that. We'll be back.
Miss something?
There's a podcast.
Get it on demand wherever podcasts are found. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday, but we will be back tomorrow to do it again. Just remember to email in your Ask Dr. Jesse questions to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. All 3 hours will be a real good time tomorrow. Also, remember, we have snakes in our midst in the GOP.
Señor Presidente. El mismo Dios que se lo salvó a usted de la muerte en Pensilvania hace solamente un año y que le puso de vuelta en la oficina Oval en contra de todo pronóstico, es el mismo Dios todopoderoso.
A Republican representative in Congress standing on the Capitol steps asking the president in Spanish for amnesty. We still have a lot of work to do in primaries. A lot of work to do in primaries. Remember this too. Remember that communists are always selling revenge. So when you bring up things like that won't work, or it's too expensive, or this has been tried before, or that will fail even, if you just tell them that that's going to fail and that'll result in death, they know. They're not selling something that works. They're selling revenge. If, think about it this way, let's say you go through a nasty divorce, God forbid, or maybe you have, sorry if you did, a nasty divorce, and some guy shows up at your house and says, hey, your ex, for $25, I'll burn down their house. Now, that's kind of appealing when you hate them, isn't it? Is it beneficial? I could tell you right now, hey, that's illegal. It's immoral. It's wrong. I could list all the reasons why you shouldn't, but revenge is an easy sell. That's what he's selling here.
The system has hundreds of thousands of people unhoused, right? For what? And if there was any system that could guarantee each person housing, whether you call it the abolition of private property or you call it, you know, just a statewide housing guarantee, it is preferable to what is going on right now.
Abolition of private property means the government storming into your home to take it from you. Well, that's wrong. That's revenge. And that brings me to this reporter. Scott McFarland is his name. He's with CBS News. He was talking about the Trump assassination attempt. I'm just going to play it. Just remember the talk we had about so many of these commies are simply theater kids who didn't get bullied enough in school.
For those of us there, it was such a horror because you saw an emerging America. And it wasn't the shooting, Chuck. I got diagnosed with PTSD within 48 hours. I got put on trauma leave, not because I think of the shooting, but because you saw it in the eyes, the reaction of the people. They were coming for us. If he didn't jump up with his fist, they were going to come kill us.
I know.
I got PTSD from Donald Trump getting shot, not even from the shots or from Trump, but because the crowd was mad at me. Listen, drama queens, I know you're all theater kids, and you have to do this performative thing. Everything has to be dramatic and the end of the world. And I had PTSD and I realized you had to do that at all time. But media people, you may think you know, but you don't truly know the depth of hatred that normal Americans have for you. And you definitely don't realize it's 100% your fault. We feel your hatred every single day for us, for our values, for our country, for where we live. It comes out of you every single day on the news, on the radio, and it has for years. Years and years and years, you have poured your scorn onto us. Did you think that was never going to come back your way? That's a true story, by the way. The day Donald Trump got shot, the crowd began turning to the media and screaming things like, "You did this. You did this." And they're not really wrong. You act like somebody is the second coming of Hitler and Nazi and Hitler and Nazi and Hitler day after day after day. Eventually, some deranged lunatic is going to grab a rifle and go try to kill Hitler. And when that happens, you don't get to turn around and whine. "I can't believe people are mad at me." You use your platform to tell mentally ill people that Republicans are killing people. That's going to create animosity. It's going to create violence. It's going to create animosity. And we have gone from a place of distrust to the media to outright hatred of the media. And look, if you're with CBS, you should feel that hatred. You deserve every single little bit of it. Let me tell you that.
And now,
here's a headline.
By, go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Bills introduced requiring sanctuary cities to repay the feds for sending in troops. One of the things the communists actually do very well, and we do not, is they take their little fiefdoms of power and they not only protect them, but they use them on a national scale. Of course, it's illegal and horrible and wrong, but they do it and they do it very well. CIA lied about JFK's assassination. New report obliterates the official narrative. Apparently, the Central Intelligence Agency had met with Lee Harvey Oswald. He was in contact with CIA assets. Oh, come on. It's not like the CIA had worked before with the mafia, and then Jack Ruby had worked as part of the mafia, and he was the one who took out Oswald. Let's not make something of it. Icelandic volcano erupts, forcing tourists to evacuate famous geothermal spa. I kind of want to see a volcano erupt one day. I don't want to be that close, but I really desperately want to see that. Belarusian grocery store facing fines for not stocking enough potatoes, as they should. Gosh, I love potatoes so much. As long as they're tater tots or something nice like that. Benign vein issue behind Trump's swollen legs. We do forget sometimes how Donald Trump's getting up there. He's getting up there. One day we're going to lose him. That's kind of how it goes. All right. We'll be back tomorrow for Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. That's all.
This is an iHeart podcast.